Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking to the lead curator of the South by Southwest XR Experience program, Blake Caminator, where we go through all of the different competition pieces and the spotlight program and just kind of like reflect on some of the broader themes of this year's program. There's a lot of generative AI type of pieces. And so there's a lot of returning artists actually this year for South by Southwest XR Experience with artists that have been in the XR realm and then starting to integrate different aspects of artificial intelligence. So I'd be very curious just to see how these different artists are using AI in terms of their experiential design and creating these different social dynamics, group experiences, and telling stories in a unique and different way. So we go through each of the different pieces and give a little bit of a recap of what to expect for each of them. It's going to be starting from Sunday, March 15th, starting at 11 a.m., going up until 6 p.m., and then Monday the 16th, and then Tuesday the 17th. It's a quick, fast, and furious, you know, each morning, get there early, about an hour early, and then you line up and then you get your name on the list of different pieces to try to see. And it's a bit of a mad rush, and then there's standby and there's capacity for you to kind of drop in. Snap is going to be there showing their latest dev kit that they have released for about a year or so now, different experiences outside. And there's a bunch of really great programming that's coming from the Spotlight program, from Venice Immersive, IFA Doc Club. I do have my 32 hours of Venice coverage that I just have not gotten around to publishing yet. I've been giving 4 talks, also been writing up a pretty beefy report for IFA Doc Lab that is going to be kind of a recapping of their R&D summit. That is going to be something that if you're in the immersive storytelling realm, you're going to be wanting to check that out once I finish writing it and they release it here sometime within the next month or so. Diving in and reflecting on this moment to think around all the different trends that are happening within the distribution realm of XR, as well as these trends of trying to revitalize civic spaces. And so there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening in the realm of immersive storytelling. The medium has really matured in a lot of ways in terms of artists and storytellers being able to really find compelling ways to tell stories in a new way. And so I'm always excited to go and see what the latest of what these artists are doing. And so I'll be checking in and seeing the different topics that are being covering and how people are telling their stories around these topics. But I do have previous coverage from Venice Immersive that I'll be getting to after I get through actually being there on site at South by Southwest. So I'll be there from Friday up until Wednesday. I'll be interviewing a lot of the different artists and creators, mostly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be seeing all the different programming on Saturday and Sunday, just kind of catching up with all the different latest. But I do have a couple of recommendations if you are going to be there. There's some stuff that I've seen from the Spotlight program. So I actually really enjoyed Lesbian Similar in terms of, I feel like that's a really solid crowd pleaser. And we talk about it here in the discussion. It's 22 minutes, so it can be a little bit easier to see. I'm going to mention 3 of the projects that are going to be extremely difficult to see, but if you can get in to see them, then they're definitely worth it. So the winner of Venice Immersive this year was Singing Chins, The Clouds Are 2,000 Meters Up. That is a longer piece that needs a lot of space, and so it's a single player, and it's just really amazing exploration, but because it is so big and it is so long that it is difficult to get into. But if you can get into it, it's definitely worth it. Definitely check it out. And then Along Goodbye is also one of the winners of Venice Immersive. And similarly, it's like really well done, but it's also a little bit longer, which means it's going to be harder to see. And then also Dark Rooms was really solid. It was one of the hotter tickets this year at Venice Immersive, exploring different aspects of alternative sexualities and different kinks and the traumas that are related around that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of really great pieces that we also talk about here in the episode. And I'm also really looking forward to just checking out the entirety of the program. So that's what we're coming on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Blake happened on Thursday, March 5th, 2026. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hi, my name is Blake Caminator. I am the senior manager for film and TV and XR programming at South by Southwest. I started the XR program in 2015 in preparation for our 2016 year, working with Hugh Forrest, who's the head of our programming, who wanted to do some VR, AR sessions and wanted a group to kind of program that. So I started that, jumped in on that, and then was like, hey, can we show some stuff? And so we started in 2016 with a little like experimental year. And then in 2017, started our official, it was called the Virtual Cinema back then, but it is the XR Experience. So this will be the 10th official edition of the XR Experience at South by Southwest. very excited about.
Very cool. And maybe you could give just a quick update on your background and your journey into this space.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to try VR in the early days in the early 90s when a VR game, Dactyl Nightmare, came to my local arcade. And so I was immediately smitten. After that, it was a while. Like, I did that a bunch of times, like too many times probably, where you just jump in, find a pterodactyl, and then immediately die, basically. And it was very 8-bit and wonderful with the biggest headset you've ever seen. And then was able to go to Disney Quest in 2000, which was a 5-story arcade that hosted a bunch of the early VR projects, like the Aladdin Magic Carpet Ride. And there was like a comic book pop-out thing, and there was a bunch of experiential stuff all through that arcade. It was really amazing. And so that really touched me. And so then as it started coming back, I just immediately dove back in that 2015 kind of time period, a little bit beforehand, actually, as it was like starting to ramp up. And yeah, I've been smitten with immersive ever since.
Nice. Well, there used to be three big immersive festivals here in the United States, with Sundance New Frontier, with Tribeca Immersive, and now South by Southwest XR Experience is kind of holding down the fort. And also this year at South by Southwest, I understand that the big convention center is torn down. And so that's going to be kind of like a different type of South by Southwest with maybe a little bit more pods. Maybe you could just give a bit more overview of, you know, first of all, holding down the fort of the XR space in the United States, but also what's new and different with the architecture of this year's festival.
Yeah, we'll start there with South by Southwest. The core used to be there at the convention center. It has been torn down. They tore it down right after the last year's event to rebuild over the next few years. So we really used the opportunity to change the structure of the event. So we've condensed it down to 7 days. We've put everything together so that no matter what you want to do or what you're coming for, there's other opportunities to explore, like music and the film and TV and all of the innovation, technology, programming, as well as our comedy festival, all kind of happening simultaneously over those 7 days. You know, slight emphases here and there. You know, we have on Thursday, which will be the first day this year, Thursday, March 12th, is actually going to be a crossover day. So our participants who are here for our education conference, South by Southwest EDU, which happens the week before, will have this kind of convergence day where they'll be able to come and partake in some of the main events programming, which is really, really awesome and fun. Now for XR, we actually had fewer changes than the rest of South by. We are in our same location. We're at the Fairmont. We are the same days, which will be Sunday, March 15th through Tuesday, March 17th. We are in the same room. So the third floor congressional ballroom, along with some projects spread out here and there for kind of different purposes. And then, yeah, so super, super excited that we're kind of this hub of what it's always been, you know, at South by. So like, we have this like nice stability for XR in terms of just holding down the fort. I like really give that kind of to our audience, actually, the uniqueness of our audience, why we've just continued to grow and be successful in the space is, you know, we have our audience's unique makeup amongst events. So we have all of the entertainment industry, from film and TV, XR industry, music industry, and then all of these, you know, tech entrepreneurs and the tech industry, and they're all like early adopters, and they're all interested in what immersive artists are doing. And so that's really what I hold to our success, is that uniqueness in our audience.
Nice. Well, there's 37 total projects that you have across like 17 projects in competition, 13 in spotlight, and then there's 7 or 8 augmented reality experiences that are.
Oh, and I think we have changed down to 16 in competition. If I'm not mistaken.
16 in competition. Okay.
Yeah.
So 16 in competition. So 37 total experiences. So it's a really robust selection, where I know that you take a survey with the spotlight, but maybe let's start with the competition this year and just go through the projects, and we'll walk through and talk about a little bit of a sneak peek for each one to get people hyped up for people who are actually going to be there.
Great.
Versus people who might not be there and want to kind of hear what this year's program is all about.
Of course. So first off, I actually want to start with saying thank you to our presenting sponsor, which is Spectacles. And I start that out because when you first come up to the Fairmont, the first thing you're going to see is a really amazing Spectacles activation, where you'll get to try their AR glasses, which is going to be a lot of fun. So thanks to Spectacles. Now, I want to say with our 10-year anniversary, like I felt like the kind of stars were aligning, and a lot of the people who have really like supported the XR experience at South By and like come and shared their work had new projects ready. So we have like a ton of returners. It feels like a little bit of an all-star cast. I feel like, we still have a bunch of amazing discovery in there as well. But like, I was really, really pleased to be able to welcome back a lot of our past award winners with new projects. And it's going to be a ton of fun this year. So we'll just go down the row there in competition. We'll start with Ascended Intelligence, directed by Karen Palmer. It's an AI installation exploring ancestry through AI and is going to be just like a ton of fun for people. She won our XR Competition Award back in 2023 with Consensus Gentium. So I'm really pleased to have her back. Now down to Body Proxy. So Body Proxy is going to be the first project we're going to play on AI smart glasses. This is by the group from Tenderclaws. So Danny Cannizzaro and Samantha Gorman. And they won the audience award last year for face jumping for a competition. And it's going to just be another crowd pleaser. It's, exploring what happens when the human is no longer the user, but the interface for an AI. And it's just going to be a ton of fun, as all of their work really is.
Just a quick clarification, is that on the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses or some
Yes.
other smart glasses?
Yeah, it'll be on the Meta smart glasses.
Okay, cool. Yeah, always love to see what Tenderclaws is up to, and face jumping was a favorite from last year. So yeah. And all of their projects have been with AI to some degree, talking about it or actually integrating AI into it. So very curious to see where they take it this year.
Yeah, they're geniuses. It's so much fun to be able to have them back. Let's see. Then we'll go down Crafting Crimes. This will be the third episode in a VR podcast series, actually, from Targo. So Chloe Rocherelle, she is back directing this. They've been here before. They were here back in 2023 and in 2022 with Surviving 9/11, 2023 with JFK Memento and Behind the Dish. And JFK Memento won the audience award that year. I also wanted to call out, they're doing a panel on another project that they had that played at Venice called D-Day, the Camera Soldier. They'll be talking with Time Studio about creating that. But then we're also going to do a special presentation of D-Day, the Camera Soldier at the Clubhouse, which is one of the new things at South By. Each kind of pillar will have its own clubhouse. So film and TV, this will be at the film and TV clubhouse happening, I believe, on Tuesday the 17th. So keep an eye out for that. It's currently unannounced, I believe, but it'll be up there on the schedule. This will be the little first look at that for people. It's presented on the Apple Vision Pro and will be a lot of fun. It's a really amazing project. Let's see here. So then we're going to have Cycle. Cycle is a beautiful poetic project. It's really fun to be up. Like they built it into these sections where you actually get to kind of create the format that this poem unfolds in, which is really beautiful. So we're going to have that. That's out of the Netherlands. This year is really interesting. We have a lot of international representation, which we always do in the XR experience. This year, I believe we have 17 countries represented. So really excited about that, actually.
That's listed under the genre of animated, experimental, musical. What platform is that on?
It's going to be on Quest.
Okay.
Then let's see here. We actually have a bunch of really good games, so I'm going to go a little bit out of order. We haven't played a lot of games. We play some games, but not a lot. This year we ended up having several different VR-based games. Frustrating Train Man is one of them. Now this is directed by Pavel Pavlyakov, who was actually the artist on a project called Oxymore, which we played back in 2022 as a part of like our Worlds tour. It was a Jean-Michel Jarre experience, which was a lot of fun. So there we have that. Oh, and then the other games, we're going to have Watsonville by Corey McCaig, which is kind of like a genre horror escape game based in the early 90s, if you will, like, and it is like the details in it are so magnificent in terms of like the 90s nostalgia. It's quite impressive. It's really amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Winterover by Nir Sar and Ido Mizrahi, who this is really, really interesting because And this is, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm going to anyway. So this was actually created after the creators were here at South by Southwest. They met some people from NASA and they started up a conversation, and that actually turned in to this game, which is basically like a search for water on Mars and a lot of fun. So
nice. Wanted to call out the Winter Rover has like a 2 hour runtime. Is that just how long it takes to run the entire game, or is that how long the sessions are going to be to play through it?
No, I don't. I don't think you don't have to spend all 2 hours in there. I think that's the kind of like gameplay kind of time frame, but you'll be able to spend. I think it'll probably for most people it'll be more like 40 minutes or something like that.
Okay, and just as we're going through, just to help me keep track, are all three of these games on the Quest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, let's see here. Now, since I went out of order, let me go back and find my order. Okay, yeah, Fabula Rasa, Dead Man Talking. So I don't program to themes. I like to program a diverse selection, like across multiple platforms, multiple like styles and all of that. But this year, we definitely saw Gen AI kind of catching up, right? In terms of like being integrated in strong, smart ways into the projects this year. So we have a bunch, like 8 or 9 that have Gen AI base in them in some form or fashion. You know, like we already talked about Ascended Intelligence. We already talked about Body Proxy. And now Fabula Rasa, Dead Man Talking is one of the funniest projects I've ever seen. Comedy in VR is really doesn't happen all the time. You know, they're rare gems, I feel like. This was amazing. This one is amazing. And it's you're stuck in a cage and your job is to try and convince the like townspeople around you. You're like convicted of a crime. And so and you have to convince them that you should be let go. And then they have to try and convince the king. And what it is incredible. And one of the most like fun uses of AI I have experienced to this date. So
yeah. And the developer of Avore, which I know has been developing a number of games and has done storytelling in the past, but this sounds like a little bit more of a narrative piece.
Yes, correct. It is a narrative piece. And yeah, we had Avore here with Yuki Amar a couple years ago. It's really fantastic. They've had a bunch of really amazing projects. One of their first big ones that hit the scene played in Venice.
The Line,
yeah. And it was a narrative driven piece. So it was a lot of fun to see them in that space. And it's so good. You're going to love it. Then we have Intermediate Spaces by Chloe Lee. Chloe was here in 23 with Temporal World. She was back last year with Reflections of Little Red Dot, which won our XR competition, won the main prize there. And she's back with Intermediate Spaces, which is a kind of a community-driven multi-user project where you have a couple people who come together, and as they like move through the space, once they get together, like this AI kind of takes over and starts to like formulate visuals based on your conversation. Really beautiful, really well done.
And what platform is that on again?
That'll be through Quest.
Quest. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know last year with Reflections of a Little Red Dot, it was probably 3 to 5 hours of an archive that you sort of dipped into. Is it kind of a similar, cause it says it's an archive. And so are you similarly pulling in clips?
Yeah. So basically they did these workshops, you know, around the world in several different places and around community, and took all of the conversations that happened through those workshops together to like formulate questions that pulled depending on each user's experience as they move through. So there is like a lot there that can be drawn from to kind of build the conversation around, which is really amazing.
And just to also clarify, because it's a multiplayer experience, mm-hmm. and are people going in there all at the same time? And
so two people at a time. It's two people at a time.
Two people at a time. And how does the social dimension play into what my imagination is, that you're kind of dipping into an archive, or how?
So you're going through and you're like learning through like about community and different people's experiences as you're like choosing your path through those conversations as they kind of pop up. And as you do that, you kind of move together, and then till you come together, and then it kind of draws in questions to facilitate your conversation between the two of you as you kind of come together. It's really impressive.
Nice. Yeah. I'm just imagining like Minority Report with all the information coming up that he's navigating, but it's doing in the archive. And yeah, I always love seeing what people are doing in the frontiers of immersive storytelling to see how you're imagining all these things coming together, this exploration of information and knowledge and with AI in the mix. Yeah. So once we get through the competition, I want to ask some follow-up questions on the AI moment, but why don't we keep on going through.
All right, great. So Leonia is leaving by Vladimir Kolbasa. He was here with Fresh Memories, The Look, back in 2023. Is a really, really impressive mixed reality experience. Really unique way to tell a story as you kind of navigate the space. Bringing the story to life is very beautiful. The way that it's visually crafted and engages you in the space, really lovely. And that piece is about kind of the Ukrainian war and the choices that have to be made and families living in those areas. Then we have Lossie by Lisa Jammarie. Now, this is a video installation and audio experience that has it will be like three screens with, it's a poetic piece that plays with space and sound, right? And as you navigate this space, it places and tracks you and changes and blends the audio that you're experiencing as the visual components are playing out on screen. So,
and the audio, is it headphone based or is it got speakers?
It's headphone based.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So each individual person, because there'll be multiple people in there at the same time, will have a different experience as they're going through.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's like, I remember just the Bose AR frames had like a little moment that. There's a lot of pieces, but I haven't seen as many audio specific pieces. So I'd be very curious. I mean, also last year there was Are the Stars.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
And the year before that with Andrew's piece before that, The Walking Tour. Man, I should have looked that one up too. But The Walking Tour we did the year before that as well.
Eclipse?
Eclipse. Yes. Thanks. It's fantastic. And then we'll get to him shortly down the list, but Gabo Aurora had an audio piece.
Right. The Dark Field.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Lovebird, Cameron Christopoulos. He's back. So Cameron was here with Body of Mind, which won a special mention from our jury in 2023. And then he was here last year with In the Current of Being, which won the AGOG Immersive Impact Award. Is back with Lovebird, which is an AI game show, basically. So you'll have, it'll be a crowd pleaser. There's several different ways to engage with it that move you through as you play the game show, from, you know, like audio interaction to visual, like screen-based interaction to VR interaction. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Nice. I went onto their website and I applied to be a contestant on this dating game show, lovebird.show. You can register.
That's right. Yeah. So that's going to be just, there's a lot of, like, I feel like crowd pleaser moments this year. This will be a lot of fun. People will have a great time with it. Then let's see. The Baby Factory is Closed by Deepa Manclair. This is a beautiful VR project. It'll be multi-sensory based around menopause, which is, you know, a subject that a lot of people don't talk about. So I'm really excited to be able to kind of showcase work on this. Then we have The Forgotten War. This is a beautiful VR project based around the Korean War, like hand-drawn pencil look to it. Really beautifully crafted by Hyun Kwon. So, you know, like my grandfather fought in the Korean War. So like these kinds of projects, and The Forgotten War is, it's really interesting that they titled that because it's not a war that most people talk about. You know, everybody like defaults to the World Wars or Vietnam or whatever, you know, but this has affected so many people. So really happy to be able to kind of shine a light on this project.
Yeah, and I saw Interspace VR was involved with that one, which they've been doing some really amazing work over the years. So really high quality productions.
Beautiful. It's such high quality. Yeah, it's very, very beautiful. Let's see here. The Great Dictator, a participatory AI installation about power, rhetoric, and memory. This is by Gabo Aurora. It's another AI video installation where it puts you in history and into a space to perform actually some of the major kind of speeches throughout history, and plays into that exploration of what rhetoric really does and the power of it. So,
is there interactive parts of it, or is it like
it's all like the whole thing basically is interactive, because each participant will come in and actually perform 30 seconds of a speech and then be put into that space through the AI visually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Gabo has always explored. We've never played a piece by Gabo on the same platform, he's always exploring kind of the next technology and how that can integrate into his art and the stories that he wants to tell. And, you know, he was actually like, we played Clouds Over Cedra in the first kind of exploring year in 2016 as a part of a showcase with, at the time it was Verse, Chris Milk's company, who showcased, I think, 8 projects, I believe it was. That was one of them. So
nice. And for The Great Dictator, is it screen based? And what was the screen based?
Yeah, it's screen based.
Like, how is it listening?
And then there'll be a microphone. There'll be a microphone that you get to stand up to. And then I believe you get a takeaway at the end.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice.
The one that I haven't mentioned yet. Now, this is kind of a special case in terms of, it is in competition, but it will not be in the Fairmont at all, is Escape the Internet Part 1 by Lucas Risotto. Many people know Lucas because he is just an incredible artist that works across so many different mediums. I think I was reading his bio the other day, and he's a viral artist because he really, really is, you know. He's just so smart in how he navigates from one project to the next. And he was here in 2023 with Rockets by Pillow. This is a live interactive screening, if you will, that'll take place twice at the Alamo Draft House, once on Sunday at 10:15 p.m. and once on Tuesday, March 17th at 2:30, I believe.
Now, it sounds like it's got interactive game components, but you're in a theater. And so
I'll say it here. You're in a theater. You use your phone. He says it's very important that you charge your phone. So when you're coming, please charge your phone. Have a full battery. Okay. We'll do what we can to facilitate, but he really wants you to have a full battery on your phone when you come. So I will say that here. I'm giving you the tip.
And is there charge Wi-Fi at Alamo or not?
Yes, somewhat.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And so I tried to get into this. This is going to be a hard thing to see because I can't reserve tickets for it. And so how do people see it?
You could reserve some tickets for it. They were reservable in our new reservation system, which launched a couple of weeks ago for most things, not in XR. So this is the only XR thing that you could have reserved for in advance. I think it sold out pretty quick, but it's not sold out. The reservation sold out, which is a percentage of the house. And you can look because people can add and drop. So keep an eye on their event page for the screening you want to go to, and you can reserve a ticket, a seat in advance. Yeah.
That's the only one.
It's going to function as like a normal film screening. So in terms of,
I just looked at it last night and I was like, oh crap, I missed the boat to see this reserve. And so there are platinum holders that I guess those.
So the way that it works is 50%. We released 50% 2 weeks ago, 50% of the reservable amount to platinum badge holders, and then 50% of the reservable amount for film and TV and platinum badge holders on the next Thursday. So a week ago. And then there's now for platinum badge holders and film and TV, you can still go on and check and reserve additional tickets for your day to kind of like do advanced planning. It was one of the big things that we kind of launched this year that's new.
Okay. And just to also do a brief recap of how South by South works ticketing wise, because it's a little bit different than most festivals. Like Venice, you basically, you have to get up at 5 a.m. one day and then you book everything and either you get it or you don't. But for South by, it's a little bit more democratized in the sense that each morning you have to go there, but you kind of have to get there early, wait in line, get your name on the list. Otherwise, if you go in the middle of the day, it's unlikely you'll get to see too much. Although there is walk-up capacity for some.
There is walk-up capacity. So what you do is you have to go, like you said, each morning, you have to go to each individual booth to reserve a slot within that booth for that day. And we do it by day. And we do it for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's related to our kind of how our badges work. You know, this is actually the first with this reservation system that we were talking about for these other events, that's not for most XR events. It's the first time we've done this kind of advanced planning kind of format. So, you know, we function a little different as XR, which is why the XR projects are not included in that. And we still function the same way. So you get up there on the day, you go to the project you have to see the most, and you sign up for that one first, and then you move down and you start trying to play the room. But then there's always room for walk-ups. Like you said, there's always people who can't make their time slot. And so we fill in with little wait lists around the room. So
yeah, it's a mix of Kronos and Kairos. The Kronos, where you schedule things, you have a schedule, but then you're in the Kairos environment where you lose track of time and can very easily miss a session, which means that if you didn't get signed up, then you can see the projects that people don't show up. But sometimes you can just walk up to projects. So,
Is
it all
and
in one
I will
level?
say what it does, what it has done, and this is what I will say, that is one reason why we've done this for now 10 years the same way. And the reason that we do it that way and that I've kept it that way is because, like, everybody comes to the room and it creates such a beautiful community environment because everybody is there. Everybody really is excited about the work. They all want to see it. And they're all kind of, everybody is in the room mixing and mingling that whole time and has created a wonderful, and then they're meeting the artists who are there. Most of them are there in their booths, you know, for a good portion of the time. So it gives that opportunity to connect with the artist, connect with the work and connect with each other. So that's kind of one reason that we've maintained that.
Nice. Well, one quick follow on before we dive into the spotlight is that I know in years past, it's been on multiple floors. Is that all on the third floor? Or is it also on the fourth and fifth floor?
We have three projects on the fourth floor this year. So you'll find Ascended Intelligence on the fourth floor. You'll find The Great Dictator on the fourth floor. And you'll find The Clouds Are 2,000 Meters Up on the fourth floor. It's all on the fourth, nothing on the fifth for us, XR. But one unique thing this year is we have one booth that can represent everybody who's not, their project is not on the main floor. So within that, you'll be able to go and meet some of the people from Layers of Place, and you'll be able to see the people from Clouds Are 2,000 Meters Up. Not everybody's going to be in there all the time because there's five projects represented in that one booth, but it'll be a great spot for people to come and connect with those who aren't on the main floor.
Okay. So you're meeting with the creators in that booth, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well, let's dive into the spotlight because I know there's a little over half the pieces that I've seen here so far are on the festival circuit, but this is a great opportunity if you don't have the opportunity to travel around the world like some of us do to go to these places to see the best of, that you go to these places and are choosing a lot of these projects. One that I don't see is Blur, which I think logistically would have been difficult to bring, but I'm sure you would want to bring.
I would have loved to have Blur. I love Craig. I love the whole team behind it. And, you know, they've been here before. But yeah, logistically, that would have been a challenge.
Yeah.
Love the piece. Love Blur. Love it.
Yeah, that's probably one highlight from Venice that I think is missing. But, you know, there's performers and it's just, you know, throughput and the cost and they're showing it in
size and like, yeah, there's a lot of logistical challenges there. Would have loved to have them join us, but you know, there's a lot of great projects that I would have loved to have here that we don't have space for. That's like when I'm programming, like I have to program to space, right? So it's not just like, let's play everything. Space is at a premium at South By at all times. So like I'll program and then start like placing based on the needs of each project. And then we kind of start add a couple more. And that's kind of like, so it's part of the puzzle. And logistically, that would have been challenging. You know, we would have tried to work it out. However, you know, always trying to work things out, you know, it's like, but a lot of programming is timing for not just us, but for the projects and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, let's go through the projects that I haven't seen yet, starting with the Filos de Vento Arapa.
Yeah. So Filos de Vento Arapa, this is going to be a screen-based project and it played at Cannes. It's beautiful documentary about wild horses in Spain, and will be on a unique screen setup, actually. So a multi-user, and is just gorgeous, gorgeously shot and produced. Yeah.
Nice. What and then we have the Insider Outsider.
Yeah. Great. So Philip Cohen Salal, he was one of the founding members of actually one of my favorite bands when I was in high school, the Gotam Project, which is like a nouveau tango, kind of electro tango band whose members are from between Paris and Argentina, I believe. And he's one of the founding members. So he directed this project. So this is his exploration of another artist who really like was hidden. It's going to be on MetaQuest. It's produced by Lucid Realities, who are a very strong production studio, make really beautiful work. And this is his like exploration of the artist Henry Darger, who is an outsider artist and whose work was like unending, the amount of work that they found after he passed away. And this is kind of his exploration through that.
Nice. Pretty cool. And we got Lost Love Hotline, look like a phone-based, like a telephone-based audio experience, maybe.
Yep. Telephone-based audio experience, exploring exactly what it says, lost love, right? The way I look at this is going to be so much fun. There is an AI component to it. based on a questionnaire, you'll go up, you'll have, there's going to be live performers you're going to interact with, and then you'll do a little questionnaire. And then based on your answers, it'll pull different stories that have been recorded in the past as part of this audio archive. I don't know. So one thing that we always used to have back in the newspapers of old were these sections of like missed connections or things like that. And I kind of think of it like that, like people's snippets of stories of their day or their life or their existence, in this case, love, how it can affect us at large, you know? So like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think people are going to really, really, really get into it and be able to get that lost love off their chest.
Nice. And we have Spectacular, the art of Jonathan Yeo in augmented reality. So this is the spectacles. We're going to be a piece that is going to be featuring the art of Jonathan Yeo.
Yeah. So Jonathan is a very famous portrait artist from the UK. He did the Red Portrait of King Charles, which went viral. He has a very unique style and it is beautiful. He's an incredible artist. So this will be basically an art gallery. There will be a story that you kind of explore as you explore the gallery with that augmented through the AR spectacles. So yeah,
nice. It's,
I'm super excited about this project. I've actually known about this project for a very long time. One of the producers used to be a part of Factory 42, which was a production company that we played several projects with back in the day, I will say now, I guess. And so it was something that they had been working on and then kind of evolved into what it is today. And I'm so excited to be able to bring it here. Mm-hmm. It's only had a 2-day show, I think, in a gallery in Paris, I think. And that's the only place it's been shown so far. So it's a really unique opportunity for people to see.
Nice. Well, I'll lead us through some of these other projects that I've also had a chance to see on the festival circuit. I'm going to start with the Lesbian Simulator, because I think this is probably going to be another cloud pleaser where you basically embody a lesbian, you choose a character, you go through, and there's moments where you have to actually articulate and say, I am gay. And so it's kind of gamifying different aspects of LGBT coming.
And really exploring, like you said, embodying that and then exploring kind of the choices that you have to make living through that experience, some of the different reactions that can happen during those experiences, during that experience. It's, I think, powerful, and I agree, but it's fun at the same time. Like, it's deep and thoughtful and powerful, but fun, like you said, how they've gamified it and brought it to life.
Yeah. And talking to the creator, she really wanted to have it for a Steam release. So it's like really gamified in a way that is also kind of geared towards that gamer audience in a way that is trying to use the medium of gaming to talk about these issues. So I think that's really quite fascinating the way they've done that. And another highlight that I'll mention, a couple of projects that are going to be really difficult to see, well, at least three projects that were really difficult to see at Venice because they're long. They're also really, really good. Clouds Are 2,000 Meters Up, Along Goodbye, and Dark Rooms, all super strong pieces from Venice, long pieces, difficult to see, but worth it if you can get in to see them.
So worth it. Absolutely. I will say, I'm going to tell a story that I probably shouldn't. I mean, it's very quick. But when I went to see The Clouds Are 2,000 Meters Up, it was like my first slot that morning, whichever morning it was. I did have a ticket to it, but I hadn't preloaded my ticket on my phone. And I get there and like the Wi-Fi was just like not having it. And there was a person waiting for my slot. And she was freaking out because she like had to see it. And she was like, no, I have to see it. I have to see it. She was like, you don't even have a ticket. See, you don't even have a ticket. You know, she was playfully trying to get her way in. And then I was like, give me 1 second. I know you have to wait 5 minutes. So I was like, I was going to run to the market where I could pop on the Wi-Fi, pull down my ticket and come back. And I did. And she was like, I'll pay you for it. I'll buy it from you. And I was just like, it was the first and only time I've ever had somebody try to buy my ticket from me at Venice. So I said no, and I went and I tried the project.
Such an amazing piece and a great story. It's probably the most sophisticated kind of long form, using Gaussian splats with great storytelling.
Volumetric capture. Yeah. Like it is, I agree with you, the most sophisticated, like long form story in immersive to this point where that's exploratory. You get to explore the scenes as you move through, as the story plays out, it gives you room and space, but while still being this like linear story that it's playing, that's
going through. Yeah, and it needs a lot of space. And so you're walking through it, and just the spatial architecture of the piece is just brilliant. Singing Chen doing the Man Who Couldn't Leave, one of the winners from Venice, 360 Video. So just an amazing creator. So definitely.
I'm very excited to have her here. Her work is just at the highest level. And so really, really, really excited to be able to present this piece.
And Winners from Venice is A Long Goodbye, which was a really great, very well-told story, very cinematic, but also moving your body and kind of a painterly feel, kind of waking dream-like, but just a really strongly told story in a way that I found it really one of the more moving pieces that I saw.
It is moving. It's so moving. And it was like, it's one of those, and it's so beautiful also, you know, like in how they like the watercolor kind of nature aesthetic to it and how they like move you through the story and the space. It was like, it could not be denied with how touching it is.
And Dark Rooms was really quite interesting in terms of the volumetric storytelling that's telling the story of like non-traditional sexual preferences and kinks and other explorations, but you end up embodying a character in a way that's very unique, the way that the story is told, but it was also one of those pieces. It feels like a documentary that you're kind of embodying. You're like a character in the documentary as you're learning about these sexual explorations.
Yeah. And one of the, like, I think important components of that, like, is actually like just straight out of their synopsis is like, it really like shows how these different kind of side communities helped these people kind of deal with different traumas in their life and how they grew and like all of that. And so it's like, it's important to note that it's like these kind of, like you said, far out kind of like side communities that people don't necessarily think of are actually these like healing groups and communities that have come together. You know, I think it's really, it's extremely impressive in terms of the production and everything like that. But the storytelling is just really, really, really amazing.
You walk around a lot in the sense that it's like a volumetric story. It's a documentary and there's some brilliant transitions. And I know that at Venice, they were showing some people an extra chapter, but it wasn't. Yeah. Do they have like additional chapters?
I believe they'll have that extra chapter as well. Did you try the extra chapter?
No, I had issues with the tracking on one of the times. I had to go back and see it again just because it kind of blipped out. It's got a group experience that's wireless that they were having some technical difficulties that I happened to run into. Hopefully they'll have sorted all that out. But I know that for some people, they got to see all of the chapters.
Yeah, I had no problems. I went through everything. I got to see all the chapters. But even within the group, I think they only let like one other person do the final chapter, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I was lucky enough to be able to do that, which kind of has that same impression, although it's audio only.
Right. So I may end up trying to see that again, depending on how much time I see, but that's one of the ones that I want to come back to and see the rest of it because it is such a uniquely told story. Okay, so Reality Looks Back was at IFA Doc Lab, and so that was both a dome and a kind of a VR version. Are you showing it in VR here?
Well, we'll be showing the VR version, yes. And I would have loved to have another dome. We had a dome last year. It would have been amazing. You know, many different factors play into why we didn't have a dome this year. But in talking with them, one of the things, number one, Anne and Omid are the creators. I've been impressed with their work for a long time, actually. They're very, very thoughtful creators and very talented. And I was like, the effect I had seeing it in VR, because I saw it in VR, not in dumb, I was like, it was very effective for me. So while I would love to be able to give the group experience that a dome presents, it is so beautiful and effective in the VR version as well.
Yeah, I think the story started as an audio podcast. And so it's so well told.
Yeah, exactly. It's that conversation that I fell into and fell in love with as I was going through it. It's just like, it's such a beautiful conversation.
But speaking around quantum mechanics and how there's moving from possibility spaces to actual spaces and how the possibility space within the context of the story takes a turn in a certain moment and it goes in a direction that you feel like is the liveness of the moment, that they're kind of following it. And the way that they make the piece, you can tell that they're open to those possibility spaces. And so you really embody that possibility space in a way that also Gaussian spots.
It feels so authentic too, you know, like I think that was one of the things is this, like, as the conversation like evolves and those moments and realities evolve as well, it just feels so authentic. It's so great.
And just to kind of tie it back to Gaussian splats and how Gaussian splats themselves are exploring possibility spaces in a way that is using the kind of neural networks to be able to render a similar way. They're kind of using the technique of that within themselves, talk around the topics. And so there's a correlation between the spatial representations of the metaphors and what they're actually talking about. So that's a really fun, kind of geeky, quantum mechanics-y like experience.
It's lovely.
So then Out of Nowhere was also a piece that I saw at Venice.
So Out of Nowhere, it was interesting. It was particularly touching to me when I saw it. The area outside of Austin had just been affected by these massive floods. And this project is about these floods that happened in Austria, I believe. To combat that, they're like renaturing the area surrounding it. And it's a really beautifully told documentary and story. It doesn't like come across as preachy or anything like that. It's just such a beautifully told story about this one space, about it flooding and the effects of the people on it, and then how they're taking kind of the land back to make it better for all those living in the area. It's just really beautiful. It's like contained and small, but then also like brings in video, because it's kind of this like interactive table almost that you're playing with as the scene kind of folds out. And then there's video involved as you go through, but it is a really beautifully told piece.
Nice. Okay. So the last Venice piece was A Great Orator.
Yeah.
By Daniel Ernst. And this was an interesting piece because it was kind of like your open world exploration, but yet there seems to be some like, you know, generative narrative components, but you're also exploring the world. So there's a lot of world building that you're having, but there's also this exploration component.
There's this overarching unseen, the great orator, you know, that is actually like this AI that's kind of playing into how you explore and building stories based on your interaction, right? So like as you interact with a piece, it'll give you a story about that. But then when you interact with it again, it'll give you a different story about that, right? So it's like, it is based on the idea. So he's been working on this forever, number one. Okay, Daniel Ernst was here in, I will say, 2019 with Diorama number 4, De Fernway Au Pair, which was like this beautiful, amazing, giant opera singer in space. It was fantastic. Go see it if you can. Now this piece, so he'd been working on this since before the big AI boom. And he was actually working with the university at the time to build an AI to have integrated in this. And then, you know, things happened, other AIs came, and it continued to develop. But I had like one of the most amazing conversations I've ever had at the market in Venice was with Daniel about this project way back in probably 2019. It was definitely I think it was 2019.
Yeah. And I also have a great conversation that I recorded with him. I'm hoping I'll get all of my Venice coverage out. It's sort of like there was a torrent of other events and other things that have come up in my life that I have not put out my Venice coverage yet, but I'm hoping to before South by. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But I do have a great conversation with Daniel as well. Okay. Yeah. Two more pieces for Cannes Film Festival. We have Lacuna and also the Dollhouse. Yeah, Lacuna being this kind of like murder mystery of sorts, or you're trying, it's the way that it's told, there's multiple stories and you're learning about this as you go along. It's a historical piece, but it's also this very interesting, like kind of using the VR to kind of invoke this kind of nostalgic fogginess of your memory. But
that's exactly what I was going to say. That's what touched me the most, I think, is kind of, I mean, it's a very touching story and the way it's told is very beautiful. One of the things that I found just so effective is using VR to play to the fogginess of memory and be like, as you draw on your memory through conversation, things become a little more clear, maybe, you know, but not always. And I just found it so amazing how they crafted that.
It kind of leans into the dream logic of VR, and it made sense when I watched it. And then I found myself, as I was trying to talk about it, there were things about my own memory of it that ended up being a little foggy, but the way that they're weaving together, like 3 to 5 stories, also like their own stories and like multiple stories that are also kind of colliding and different peaks of those stories. And so it's really kind of affecting piece. Agreed. That I really enjoyed. And then Dollhouse was also kind of like more of a tabletop scale animation where you're looking at the issues of power imbalances between paid workers and maids and kind of the dynamics that are there. And so kind of
exploring. And not only that, but immigration, like immigrants and their existence as they move through to try and build a better existence for their families and how that works. It like plays, the story plays into that very heavy and very effectively. And, but from the point of view of a child, so like that, it's like, it's primarily the lead is the child in this house. And so then you also get into, I thought it was just so layered. That was the thing about it. Cause then it like plays into that, like the effects of the world around a child and how that affects them and what their actions and how they see the world as well. Right. So it's like, there's like all these different layers to it that I thought was so smart and how they weaved it together.
Nice. Well, we have like the six augmented reality experiences under the umbrella of Layers of Place Austin. MIT Open Documentary Lab and Sarah Wollison is creating a series of different augmented reality installations. And so maybe off the top, is there one place to go see this or is it all in the Fairmont? Where do you go to see this?
Yeah, no. So this, I'll say, is an amazing collaboration between us and MIT Open Documentary Lab and the communities around Austin. This is actually like, so each individual piece, I guess, let me start from the beginning. Layers of Place originated as an AR project around the MIT campus, right? Where people explored the history of MIT and the places around it through augmented reality. And then they took those stories and then explored the history around Austin based around places and monuments in Austin, and then now have created these new stories or telling new stories rather about the Austin area and the places here. So it's all over downtown Austin. There's six different locations. They will host some full walking tours, I believe, but it's open to the public. Everyone can go see it. You'll be able to go, you know, hit a QR code and then be able to see the story in this space. And there's like some in different parks and different spaces kind of all around downtown Austin.
Okay. So logistically, this may be difficult for people like myself who are going to be focusing on so much. Is there a way to see it all in one place or do you have to literally go to the locations and to...
So you can go to the Fairmont and you can talk. They will be kind of based in the Fairmont. They'll be in that kind of space with multiple creators who don't have their projects on the floor in the Congressional Ballroom. So you'll be able to kind of go and talk with them and explore there. And they'll have some kind of visuals as well, kind of going, playing there, but you can't experience it unless you go out and see them.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'll do my best to find time to do that in my whirlwind of a time there. Austin, just another quick logistical question in terms of the timing. When do things open and close each day?
So for all badge holders, we are the Congressional Ballroom and all the projects in the Fairmont are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, March 15th through Tuesday, March 17th. We do have a private press and industry hour on Saturday, March 14th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. as well. For those of you listening, you should have received a ticket. For industry members and for press, it's open for all press badge holders, accredited press. And so if you have a press badge, come on through. And if you didn't get a ticket, I guess shoot me a message if you're supposed to have had one. And so that's open 11 to 6 also Saturday, March 14th. And then the Layers of Place will be open the entire time and beyond.
Nice. Okay. Well, I just want to just do one big reflection on AI because it is such a moment. Yeah. There are things about AI that sometimes I just want to send it into the burning sun. But I appreciate what artists are doing. And so it's nice to see how artists are using it. What it feels like is that with the iPhone came out, the big mobile revolution, it kind of feels like every big tech company is like, we're going to miss the boat with AI. So we're going to like heavily invest. There's still things about large language models that are hallucinatory and sloppy. And just, I feel like I've had mixed experiences with AI pieces where sometimes they're really quite brilliant to be like, okay, this is the potential where this is going. And other times it just feels like I could just be chatting with ChatGPT. I feel like you're offloading your narrative responsibilities into AI. And so I feel like I've had this mixed result of having some things that I walk away hating and other things that I feel like are kind of giving me a clue as to where we're going in the future. And I appreciate the storytelling lens because I tend to get more biased towards things that are interesting and where we're going in the future. But I know that as a curator, I'm sure you see a wide swath of stuff that doesn't past that threshold of bare minimum narrative interestingness or just something that goes Correct. Beyond what people are already doing. And so just curious to hear some of your reflections of where we're at with AI and how you're trying to cultivate all of that within this year's selection.
I also, like you, have had both positive and negative experiences with AI. It's funny, as much as I am this like inundated in technology and new technology and always kind of like keeping an eye on it and experiencing it in different ways, I'm also like a very old school analog type of person. I like to listen to records and, you know, like I still have my VHS and DVD collections and things like that, you know? But here's the thing about AI and about most technology. I find, especially like big booming technologies like AI, that everything starts on the extreme. There's the people who like, it's extreme bad. It's going to rot your brain. It's going to Terminator 2 us all. And then those who are like, it's going to save the world. It's going to be all idealism. And then where we land is somewhere in the middle. So you're right. There's all these people shoving all this money into it. And most of those companies are going to be gone in 10 years at the longest, you know, in my opinion, you know, maybe not, but we'll see. But like, really, like, I feel like, especially in the arts, and I was on a panel in Birmingham Tech Week where we were discussing just this. And it's when you give artists the room to explore these technologies is quite often when you find kind of the sweet spot of the power within the technology and like what it can be used for in not only like a positive way, but also in like non-detrimental ways. And like, you know, artists really, really, in my opinion, tend to drive the new technology into and through where it finally will reach its like peak of usefulness almost, you know? So that's why like, not only did I know I would have to lean into it, but like I was happy to lean into these artists using AI in these fascinating ways and to be able to show that to people, like how you can use it artistically as a tool, not only to create like individual experiences, but to create group experiences as well. So it's like, that's definitely one of the places people are exploring. And it is that right now still. People are exploring it. And when you explore, sometimes it doesn't work out. But then sometimes it does, right? So it's like, I really feel like these artists that we're showcasing this year who are using it in really beautiful and smart ways and all different ways. Like all of them are very, very different in how people are using the Gen AI within these projects. So it's I think with all new technology, you know, like you can ride the wave or you can fight against it. But like whenever you kind of allow exploration within it, you'll find its place, I think. So,
yeah. Well, be curious. Because South by Southwest always tends to be like the tip of the hype cycle of whatever the latest hype is. There'll be like everything will be that times 10.
Yeah,
so I imagine there'll be a lot of AI this year at South by Southwest. And I just want to say one other thing about AI, just because last year I was on a panel on Augmented World Expo on the Socratic debate about AI. And I feel like there's a part of AI that is about consolidating wealth and power. And so you end up having like a handful of big tech companies that have these large language models, they can put billions of dollars, but that because they're kind of stealing data in a way that they're consolidating their own wealth and power in a colonial way, then there are these larger contexts about AI that lead more into like war against China as a context of geopolitically, but also surveillance capitalism and how Big Brother surveillance mashed up with AI is basically like we got 1984 Orwell here with surveillance capitalism, that everything you say into this is, you know, not protected by the Fourth Amendment because of third party doctrine. Anything you give to a third party is no reasonable expectation to remain private. So basically, these are just big ingestion machines for Big Brother. So there's this other dimension about AI that is more political than XR has been. XR has been kind of flying under the radar, but AI is kind of like got the biggest powers in the world that are trying to use it to control and manipulate us. And we're in an era where we're kind of democratically backsliding into authoritarianism in a way that is different than any other moment. So I think that context gives me extra pause. And I know Karen Palmer, you know, her piece particular in The Great Dictator, I think the pieces this year will be speaking to some of these. But as I look at pieces, that's a deeper context that I think doesn't hit me in the same way as XR, just as kind of geopolitical, like, dystopia that I see. Like I see much clearer pathway for how AI leads towards really dark paths and much more short term than what XR has been. And so it gives me more of a skeptical or critical look at it.
Yeah. And I will remind, because you're right, especially in terms of like the scale and the reach, remind you though about when XR first came about in those early days, like the 2015s, 2016s, when everyone was like, it's going to turn everyone into vegetables, Ready Player One, only in your bodysuit. You're never going to actually meet anybody. And that never happened. So we landed in the middle. We landed in the middle where, which is my hopes, because I don't disagree. You know, you can definitely see these dark paths down with AI. But then on the brighter side, I guess you will. I mean, I don't know if it's a bright side or not, but I mean, just look at the conflict between Anthropic and the government. Or the Anthropic was like, you can't use our technology for surveillance, you know, surveilling the masses in the US. And I mean, they parted ways, but you know, like at least that there's some people who are like, yeah, no, we don't want to go down that road. So
yeah, we need privacy laws in the US, and without those privacy laws, we're headed into AI Big Brother. So that's like a deeper context, but I am excited to be there and to talk to the artists and have these discussions to see how the artists are exploring this, because I know that at least some of them are addressing that and some of them are kind of using it. Some artists use AI to talk about how much they hate AI. Some artists use it within the context of not being protected by copyright. So anyway, very curious to see this year's program. Thanks so much for doing an overview. I guess as we wrap up, I'd love to hear what you think the ultimate potential for this confluence of XR, AI, and now with spectacles, AR, that's coming up, and we think that it might be able to enable.
You know, it's fun. I've had answers for this every time. And this year, I feel like I don't have a clear answer because it's still evolving so much. And like, especially with the emergence of and popularity of the AI smart glasses. And then, yeah, then you start adding in the visuals with like the new spectacles and things like that. Like the possibilities are still endless in my mind. And so what I will say instead is I'm excited to see kind of what artists do with especially things like the AI glasses, which now they have the ability to actually create for, which they didn't up until just recently, you know? So I'm really excited to be able to see what artists do in exploring these tools and how they help move the needle from one side to the other.
Nice. And is there anything else that's up and said that you like to say to the broader immersive community?
I look forward to seeing you all at South by Southwest in March. Just a week and a half away. No, one week away. can't wait to see you all.
Awesome. Well, Blake, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast. I always enjoy coming to the South by Southwest because it's a mad rush to see things. It's a lot of energy, a lot of artists that are pushing the edge of what's possible. And also there's talks and lectures that are also happening as well. So it's kind of a great interdisciplinary fusion between the film world, the music world, the interactive world, and the XR world all coming together. And I want to just mention that there's a number of UAP UFO panels that are happening with Steven Spielberg. Sure. Dan Farah is going to be on a panel with Hal Puthoff and Jay Stratton and Leslie Keene about the age of disclosure. And then Danny Sheehan is going to be on a podcast live recording on that Thursday. So that Friday, there's going to be a couple of events with Spielberg and the Age of Disclosure panel. So last year with Age of Disclosure, which I had a chance to see the world premiere, very stoked to see how this larger discussion is unfolding, and that there's another kind of like callback of all these kind of UFO disclosure type of topics that are also happening this year at South by Southwest that I think are also just worth calling out as a part of the larger cultural zeitgeist.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really fun year at South by this year. I hope you don't miss it. Come and see us. Thanks, Ken. It's always a pleasure chatting.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is part of podcast. And so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.